Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I know. Do you know what the best feeling in the world is?
Ooh, is it, you know, when you finally beat a boss after messing up loads of times?
I mean, that's a good one.
Oh, actually, you know when you unlock a new skin in a game without having to buy it?
Yeah, solid.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, actually, what about when you blue shell someone last second and then you win the race?
I mean, they are all good options.
Well, it's not one of them.
It's not one of them. They're good options, but I think it's when you've got your new game loaded up, you are ready to go, you're getting locked in, but you've got a chocolatey friend.
Hey, hey. Now we're talking,
absolutely,
bro.
They are there, ready to give you a little power up, a little energy boost before you get going.
Especially if it's a lovely milk chocolate slab between two crisp biscuits.
You know the one, I know. It makes the world's most satisfying snap when you bite into it. It's got to be a pick-upper.
Pick-up. Oh, yeah. Oh, are you going for the OG pickup? You know the one with the blue box?
Yeah, this blue box.
That blue box?
Yeah, this is really good. I mean, I'm also dabbling with the salted caramel as well.
Okay.
There are loads of different flavours out there. Whichever one you go for, there is no better snack for when you're getting ready to get into a big gameplay session, about to pick up your controller and get into it.
Yeah, and they're super easy to eat as well. No chocolatey fingers over the controllers. Nuh-uh. And that's thanks to the two crisp biscuits hugging the chocolatey slab.
Nobody wants chocolate marks on their controllers, do they? Absolutely not. You can find out more by just searching for Pick Up on your phone.
Pick Up and Go.
Well, thank you very much for hitting play on the latest episode of Press X to Continue. It is the only gaming podcast that you could possibly need. And do you know who agrees with me? Well, it's somebody called Herbie Goes Racing on Apple Podcasts, who has left us a rather lovely little review. It says, best gaming podcast ever because it's funny and also makes me better at games. I'm not 100% sure about the second half of the sentence, Herbie, but I'm going to take it. Thank you very much for your comment. And just to emphasise that point, by the way, they've then left 46, and we counted every single one of them, 46 controller emojis on the review.
Wow. So
that's a lot of emojis.
46?
46 controller emojis. I mean, I might have delegated that to producer David. He's better at maths than I am. You know what I mean? You know what I mean doing maths?
Yeah.
You know what I mean maths in?
It's working smart. Yeah.
So pull up a chair, come and chat games with us. I'm Stefan Powell. I've got the actor, comedian and streamer Einel Tomlinson here. Hello, Einel. You've been busy painting?
I have. I've been busy painting, sorting out a new studio for my gaming and my voiceover stuff. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's put the primer coat on. Got to wait for that to dry before I put the base. You know, come on.
You're going to look very sexy on our socials when you finally get that done.
Oh,
not that I'm saying you don't look sexy in your kitchen.
It's just in your kitchen, isn't it? It's not very gamey. It's not gamified.
It's not really gaming what I am. I've got kids' toys.
I do have an Xbox candle burning, though.
Oh, do you?
Very nice. It smells quite nice. Lavender. Who would have thought?
Very nice. Well, look, if you're just joining us at Press X to Continue for the first time, welcome along. It's lovely to have your company. We are proudly sponsored by Pickup. Some people say it's a chocolate biscuit bar. Other people say it's a biscuit with chocolate or a chocolate with biscuits. We say it doesn't really matter because it tastes fantastic. It looks like this. I'm about to have one, actually.
He's gone for the original.
I've gone for the OG one today. It's a snack basically that helps you make the most of those unpredictable moments that gaming throws up at you, and which have to be working with the team, aren't we, I know?
Indeed. Big up, Pickup.
And we've got an exciting, by the way, Pickup themed thing coming very later on in the pod. We're mixing it up today.
So hold it.
I'm not going to give it away, but something coming up later, so stay tuned for that. It's time to find out who else is on our multiplayer split screen for the week. We have got the Guardians games editor, Keza McDonald. Back for more, Keza?
Always.
Can't get enough for the Press X lad. It's a big Sunday for you, Keza, because you I'm eating a pickup bar. You're having a bottle of beer.
Yeah, I've been driven to drink by my children over the course of the weekend. So cheers, everyone.
And to be fair to Keza, she just finished writing a book as well, which we're going to talk very much about later on, which is very exciting. Joining us as well for a Press X to Continue debut. Which is very exciting, isn't it? Imogen Mella is here from yours truly, previously off of PC Gamer and the Gaming Bible. Imogen, thank you very much for being with us.
I'm so delighted to be here, mostly because I want to argue about some opinions. Oh, well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you've said that, because that's exactly what you're doing.
Argumentative mood.
That does tend to be a very benefit short on podcasts.
And may I say, Imogen, for those people who are watching rather than listening, is your Disco Elysium poster behind your left shoulder is very cool, and I am very, very jealous.
Thank you so much. I actually, not to plug previous work, but I got this as part of like a set of just things they gave me, because I did the Final Cut stream the day of that launch.
Oh, okay.
And so they sent this to me. And so it is like, it's not just I'm a fan, but I actually, although I've bought other memorabilia, I've bought like the tarot cards, etc. But I just love the game. One of the best games ever made. Top tier game.
I know, it's such a, and what happened afterwards, it's such a sad story. It's something we'll jump into another time, maybe. Now, Imogen, before we get stuck into those unpopular opinions we want you to react to, we're doing something slightly different this week, and that is we want to be bigging up our Discord at the start of this episode, because we've had so much going on in there recently, haven't we, Ainel? We're raiding the unpopular opinions this week for some thoughts from the community. And there's so many of them popping in there every day, which is great. But also we want to pay credit and tribute to our mods who are busy working hard to make sure everything works seamlessly in there, and for keeping the community a really lovely place for people to come and hang out.
Yeah, big up the Lost DJ. Yeah,
that's DJ Mels, DW.
Thanks
for all your work. We couldn't do it without you. So big yourselves up, and to the regular posters in there as well. We see you, and we you know, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you very much for making that community so very, very lovely. Now let's slag some things off. Okay, so unpopular.
That's what I'm talking about.
Lovely, yes, segue. Come on. Lovely,
come
segue.
On. Let's get into it. All this being lovey dovey. Come on. Right. What do you make of this then? Let's go to you, Keza. This from Ippy, who says collectible. And I'm interested to take what Keza's got to say about this one. Collectibles and games should be scrapped, says Ippy, because there are too many now, and they're the least enjoyable part of the game. They feel more like a chore than actually being fun to collect. I enjoyed the Batman Arkham games, for example, but it felt like a joyless task trying to get all the Riddler trophies. Your take on this, Keza?
I think Ippy has the right idea, which is that collectibles are out of control. However, the wrong solution, which is to completely ditch them rather than just make them infinitely better. Do you know what I blame for this? It's those pigeons. Those pigeons in Assassin's Creed a million years ago, when you had to find all the pigeons.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's like, that was the first time I remember thinking, this is bullshit, when I was going around trying to find all the collectibles. But I remember collectibles in the games I grew up with being, like, they really felt like a reward. They weren't just scattered randomly over an infinitely vast open world map. So yeah, I half agree with this opinion. I think collectibles have got totally out of control, but we need to make collectibles meaningful again. Let's do that.
Bring back collectibles as a thing, Imogen, then, rather than just scatter. They feel like a bit of sort of, oh, just give people something to do, busy work. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, agreed. I think when people platinum a game now, I have admiration, not for like the managing to complete anything difficult about the game. It's, you spent that long finding these things. And it's also, you're a liar. You're a liar because you absolutely Googled where they were. You didn't find them. There is no way that anyone who does any platinum sort of hunting now does it without a Google search. Like, so I, like, you know what? I agree totally with Keza on this. Like, I'm trying to look for an angle to argue. I've got no argument.
None.
I agree entirely.
Ippy, you've got sort of pretty much agreement here. I mean, Keza thinks not quite they should be scrapped, but you know, we're all on similar pages here. Ainel, you enjoy a collectible though, don't you?
Hey, listen, I love me a collectible, man. Do you know what it is? I'm a sucker for a really good sound effect that goes along with unlocking something or collecting something. If the sound effect is on point, I can collect a million of them and it wouldn't matter. That's what it is. It's the sounds for me. And the particle effects. It's got to have a nice particle effect.
Give me a good particle effect that I'm in.
Love me a particle effect.
It's reminded me, because we talked a lot about a Banjo-Kazooie relatively recently, Ainel, an episode we did. Mm-hmm. And hunting those little jigsaw puzzles is one of my earliest...
I can hear it now. I can hear it now, Steph.
producer David is putting in big bold writing in my script here, Keza. Uncharted has the best collectible sounds! !
I wouldn't know.
To be fair, like, Assassin's Creed has insulted me more than once with the collectibles, because there were the sea shanty collectibles in Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. And yeah, they also fly away, if I remember correctly. So you have to chase them. And then I lose them. And then I feel... do the pages fly away? Am I thinking about a different game?
I feel like that has happened to me in several different games. And every single time it happens, I'm like, okay, right. This is unnecessary.
Yeah.
This is just adding extra... I found the page. Don't make me chase it. Ridiculous. I do think that that's definitely happened in more than one game, hasn't it? The pages run away from me.
Things running away from you is just annoying in games. Once I've found you, that's it, right? Stop there. I'm not chasing after anything. You have just mentioned the best Assassin's Creed game there, Imogen, and can anybody guess why Black Flag's the best Assassin's Creed game, for a reason that has nothing to do with the content or why the game is, you know, how you play a game?
No. I don't know.
Is it pirates?
I'll tell you for why, because the main character was Welsh. Okay.
I should have known.
I was going to say it, but I went, if it's not, then that's seriously unfunny.
I've been your lesson 10 minutes and I've already assumed he's all about Wales. You'd have assumed right, Imogen. So very good and popular opinion. EP, thank you very much. And like I was saying, keep them chucking in the Discord. There's loads of amazing ones we haven't got around to talk about yet, so they're great. So keep them coming. Johnny VR, on a similar theme, Einel, Johnny VR saying, games need to rethink their definition of a legendary item. Why are legendary items available at level 2 or 3? They'll be used for 15 seconds. What's so legendary about a level 50 legendary weapon if the level 51 weapon's going to have better statistics than it? Common, rare, epic, legendary, they're all basically the same, says Johnny VR.
I agree with that. Particularly that issue I find is with looter shooters. Whenever you find a new gun, it's like, oh, this one is, oh, it's a rare or something. And then you collect it. And then 10 minutes later, you find a gun that's way better than that. And I thought, hold on, I thought this was supposed to be the super rare gun. And then there's another tier above that. And then there's another tier above that. And it's like, I think it's loot shooters that did it for me. That kind of took the zang out of it.
They're just playing with your dopamine, aren't they, Imogen? They're just messing with you.
I kind of disagree. Like, I started out agreeing, now I disagree. And I'm going on a snack-based metric, right? If I'm, if I have a crisp, crisp, and I want a salt and vinegar Walkers, it's a legendary item to me, right? I like it. I like it more than the other items that I could buy for 50p. I'm not going to compare it to the, three-course meal I had last week that was, 50 quid. You've got a... There are legendary items at all levels. You do have to consider this, I think.
Can we also consider that there are quite literally other levels?
Process.
There's common, and then there's rare, and then there's legendary. If legendary exists at all levels, then by definition, it's not legendary.
But no, it's a legendary item to me for the price point. You know, if at level two you can only afford Walker's Crisp.
That's fair, that's fair.
I'm picking that over the other things I could get for 50p. Because it was at 50p, it's the best legendary thing I could get.
You're right. You're right.
This has turned into a university level debate. I like it. This is good.
Once you get past that 25 pence threshold, that's it. It's in a different category.
I get confused when sometimes, is epic higher than legendary? Do you know what I mean? Different games slightly different
colours. And the colours as well. And the colours.
The colours are different. Colours change. Like, is blue good? Is yellow good?
Purple was supposed purple to be the good? Rarest.
Purple, to me, in my head,
is
purple.
Is it purple?
Oh, probably because purple dye used to be so exclusive. It used to be the colour of royalty because purple dye was so exclusive. So the colour purple has always been associated with luxury and priciness. So that's probably why, because we'll have an unconscious association with purple.
I think, though, that this annoying thing is more about ranks to me in multiplayer games, where it's gold, and then here are these other things above gold and diamond, that go into purple and green and other colors. Like it You could just put things under that. Why was Diamonds not the top for all games or all rating systems?
I also just...
Well, it's like S rank, isn't it?
Johnny, I just use... Yeah, all that stuff, right? But I just use the item that just looks the best. I don't really care about the stats. I'll find a way around it. It'll be fine. But very good unpopular opinions today. Thank you very much, Johnny Vianipi, getting your thoughts in the Discord.
Yeah, thank you.
Feel free to agree or disagree. Get in there, get part of the conversation. We'd love to have you in there. The link is in the description below. And also there's something special coming up for our Discord users later on in the episode. Okay, so let's have some trivia. Oh. Now, as ever, if you want to add your trivia into the mix, there's a theme to this week's episode, okay? What you've got to do is you've got to get in the Discord. There's a secret channel that only the production team can see. Imogen, me and Einel are very annoyed about it because we have no control. We can't see it.
It's starting to make me think, are there other channels we don't know about?
Hey, I never thought about that.
This is just the one we know about.
Oh, so there could be actually secret ones. There could be more.
That noise you made just this.
They could be talking about us. They could be plotting. They could be plotting against my Spotify playlist. Anyway, who knows?
Oh, right, I'm in that one.
Right, okay, so this week's question, and just even if you just put some trivia in there, our brilliant production team can turn it into a question for you, right? So they can help.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Next week's question comes from Radlan, but it's an exclamation mark instead of an N. So Radian or Radlan from the Discord. It's a great question, so thank you very much. Why are games that are intended for the casual market in China often designed to be played one-handed? No smutty jokes here, please. Thank you very much. But why are games that are intended for the casual market in China often designed to be played one-handed? I'm going to go to you, Keza, first, because Imogen's got a sort of I'm rethinking look on her face, and I want to give her time to complete that thought. What do you think, Keza? Why are they playing one-handed in China?
How obvious are we going here? Because like the really answer to me seems to be because it's on a phone. And if it's on a phone, then you're using it with one hand. But is that too obvious?
Hey, Keza, you've got to be wary. You're on 100% win rate at the minute, so you've got to think hard.
Oh, yeah, Keza, actually, you're top of the leaderboard, Keza, so no pressure.
Listen, really? Don't be jumping to the first thumbs that pops the edge, you know.
Keza, just for you, Imogen, just to fill you in, so Keza actually isn't, she's in second place. She's got two out of three right from her appearances so far, and has got which gives her a percentage of 66.7. Einel has got a 25% hit rate, and I've got a 20%. So Keza's up there in second, doing really good. So on your phone, that's a good one. Any thoughts, Imogen, before we go?
That was exactly what I was going to say. I've been thinking about what else it could be. Because the only reason I can think of is that mobile phones is technically the most casual gaming platform. And so, there is no other format I can think of where gaming with one hand would be applicable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know the answer.
Is it?
Because my old boss used to live in China.
Oh, here we go.
So that's not the answer. Got the,
All right, I'll go. Let me think.
So I think I know the answer.
I think it's some sort of multi-screen thing.
And it's not because it's on a phone.
Well, I think the phone is part of it, but it could be the phone, but I think, what are you doing with the other hand?
Playing a different game. Are people playing more games?
I think it's
people
like
are playing two games at once.
No, I think it's like a multitasking thing.
I think you're holding on to whatever public transport you're on. I reckon you're holding on the handle.
Oh, okay, so Kez thinks you're transporting on a train. Could be. Well, look.
I don't know.
We will give the answer later on in the episode, right? We'll get the answer later on in the episode. So you've got a bit more time, Imogen. Have a little think. Figure it out. So a reminder, why are games that are intended for the casual market in China often designed to be played one-handed? And we'll bring you the answer at the end of the show. Right. Our last episode, Imogen, had our most viral moment since the return of Press X to continue. Mm-hmm. Okay, Einel, we've come as close as we've come to breaking the internet.
We were touching the sun.
We were touching the sun. It was my Instagram notifications have been going mad because someone at some point every day is writing very angry messages to Daniel Krupa.
I knew he was going to make him angry, man.
Did you write a angry message him? And then what did you say?
I sent him a message. I refused to like the clip that I saw online, by the way, because of how angry I was about it.
It kind of helps us with the algorithm, Imogen. Yeah. So if you could go and do that, that would be great.
But I turned to my phone. I picked up my phone and I messaged Daniel Krupa. You've never been so wrong about anything. How could you do this to me?
Wow, or something like that. No context.
I think he knew. He and I are good enough mates that he knew that I'd be seething about this.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, Daniel Krupa from RKG, was on with us the last couple of episodes, and his unpopular opinion was that he didn't like stealth games. And the line that I think sealed the deal was when he said stealth games are basically Frogger. Because you're just waiting for a gap in the code.
Wow.
It still makes me chuckle.
He knew what he was doing without choice of words.
Still makes me chuckle. And look, full disclosure, me and producer Owen are working on getting some t-shirts that just say, it's just Frogger, right? So, some of the reactions have been amazing on social media. What did you make of this, Keza, by the way? Do you think stealth games are just Frogger?
Ridiculous opinion.
Thank you.
However, I think that he's definitely got a point. Groups, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. He's definitely got a point in the bad stealth games. Like that, you know, when there's like a really like, I'm thinking of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, which I played relatively recently, where it's literally like the Wii guards are going around in a square and you just have to wait for the guard not to be there, go across it. Bad stealth, absolutely, just like Frogger. But like the vast majority of stealth games, I'm thinking Dishonored, quite a huge gulf between like Thief or Dishonored and Frogger, really, isn't there?
Well, not if you're Daniel Krupa. Fair play to him. He stuck to his guns. Now, a lot of the messages disagreed with him, it's fair to say. So Crying Laughing on TikTok said, I'd like to see Dan play Alien Isolation. Ooh. And then call stealth games boring. Sean on TikTok said, I've never been as mad as an opinion as waiting for gaps in the code.
I told you, it was a choice of words.
Right, but then there were some amazing, some people actually, one here, Keza, which reflected your thoughts just then, Stephen on TikTok was saying, bad stealth is boring, good stealth is satisfying. So, you know, dodging the clickers in The Last of Us, for example. But I have to flag the couple of comments that just made me crack up. The Buried Jack on Instagram said, they hated Jesus too for speaking the truth.
You can't read that one out. You know that's going to go to Krupa's head.
He can never hear this.
Yeah, you can't play this through.
Someone else said, and what's wrong with Frogger? stealth has become such a sort of a visceral part of games. I kind of take Dan's point, and I enjoy a lot of stealth games, Imogen, but like when it becomes lazy, you know, when it becomes, you'll just hide in the long grass, won't you? Do you know what I mean? I suppose it's calling out games have got to still try and be innovative, even when they still use techniques and formats and formulae that we've seen before.
You know what I take issue with most, though, is that every game could be Frogger if you think about it hard enough. I'm so sorry. Dance Dance Revolution could be Frogger because of timing. You could say that Forza Horizon is Frogger because you're trying to dodge things. If any game, you could say there are cards. Like, you could say any game is Frogger if you thought about it hard enough. Like saying that you have to interact, like waiting for gaps in the code is like, yeah, like in Dark Souls, you have to wait for the right time to parry. That's gaming. That's games. Games are waiting for things to happen and responding in turn. That is every game ever made.
That's what John on TikTok said as well, Imogen. He said, stealth is just code based on that view. Isn't it all just code?
But it's look, all just code.
I think we should... I think Daniel Krupa deserves a little clap for... for getting it going. Getting it going.
He knew what he was doing.
It's been good. It's been good. It's been good conversation.
It's all just code anyway.
It's all just code anyway.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah. It reminds me of, so the Guardian's gaming newsletter is called Pushing Buttons, which, you know, it's got a nice double meaning. It's firstly, you push buttons when you play games, obviously, but also pushing buttons suggests that we might be a little provocative. But the origin of that phrase is my partner's granddad, who once memorably said about video games, it's all just pushing buttons, isn't it? It's like, well, yes. Yeah.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Occasionally waving your arm a bit if it's the Wii.
So look,
it's like saying football's just moving your legs. It's like the absurd reduction.
Yeah, football's just kicking a ball. Exactly. Mm. But what does the button do? You know, that's the interesting. So look, Krupa, thank you very much again for that, because it's really got the conversation going, and it's been fantastic seeing so many people interact, agreeing and disagreeing. It's a broad church.
Well, there was a big gulf between agree and disagree.
Hey, remember they hated Jesus too for speaking the truth. Right, Keza, last time we had you on, you were mid writing book or mid working on the book. You were dotting I's and crossing T's and getting the last bits done. Now, excitingly, it is available to pre-order. Kez's book is called Super Nintendo, How One Japanese Company Helped the World Have Fun.
Yay. So also,
yay, Kez, writing a book! Yay. Oh, she's got a copy, yay!
Oh, there we go! She said, that's the heart.
Very Chrissy.
This is a real yin and yang episode today, isn't it? We're being very wholesome and supportive in one, and then on the other, it's all just code.
Hi, Owen from the production team here. Just jumping in quickly to let you know that Keza had a couple of technical issues that cropped up during this chat, which I've finessed in the edit. There's only two instances of it, and you'll know them when you see them. Okay, bye.
So for people who don't know, obviously it's about Nintendo, but what is? Tell us more about what the premise is.
So I've been wanting to write a different kind of video game book for years. And really, I think the pandemic was the thing that made people in the wider world really understand what games did for people. I think, like, pre-pandemic, there was always this level of skepticism that video games were somehow maybe bad in some way, and that, you know, people who liked them were in some way either juvenile or slightly dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
And I really think that, like, all the game books that kind of got through the publishing process before that, they were mostly kind of quite dry histories, you know? Like, here's what happened when, here's the technological advances that happened, here's, you know, which developers were responsible for or which engineers were responsible. But I'd never really seen a games history book that was like a cultural history. Like, why do we love this? Like, firstly, what are Nintendo games? How were they made? And all that kind of interesting context. But then also, why do people love them? Like, what is it about Nintendo that's brought joy to the world for like 40 plus? Mario's turning 40 this month. So it's decades and decades now of Nintendo kind of bringing joy. And then also, I find Nintendo really, really interesting as a entertainment company and as a gaming company, because they just operate completely differently to every other game company that's out there. I've been, you know, a professional games journalist now for 20 years, which is ridiculous. And over that time, I've seen Nintendo at its most successful, at its least successful. I've seen a million times people have been like, no, Nintendo's doomed, and it never is. And it's because it just operates completely differently. So I've spent like a lot of those 20 years trying to really understand why Nintendo works like it does and how it manages to make like such good games so often, you know, with such consistent quality. And even when Nintendo misses, it still generally weathers the storm and comes out with something amazing afterwards.
Yeah.
So yeah, the mission of the book really is to tell you all about how different Nintendo games were made and who's behind them, and kind of get into the real secret stuff, because Nintendo's a really secretive company, right? And I've spent all these years digging and finding out and interviewing Shigeru Miyamoto, Eiji Aonuma, every other Nintendo creative that I could ever get in a room with to sort of ask and figure out how these things were made. So it's a history of Nintendo, but it's also kind of a book about fun and like why we play and why play is important. And also just how very, very good Zelda is.
Just an excuse to write about Zelda, basically, isn't it? Okay, so that's what's
but
going
it's
on
the longest chapter in the book is the Zelda chapter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Are you a Nintendo head imaginer? There must be a better phrase for Nintendo fans than that, Keza, that I need to think of. But do you like Nintendo? You a big Nintendo?
Oh, they were all really embarrassing.
Yeah. So let's stick with that. Do you like Nintendo imaginer?
Yeah, I mean, I was of the generation where the Nintendo DS was like the console. Actually, I got a PSP and my sister got the DS. And then I spent the entirety of like a year with a PSP. Well, all my friends had DSs, and the envy that I felt, even though my bright pink PSP had Ratchet and Clank and whatever on it, I loved it. The DS was, and the Wii were kind of defining features, I think, of my childhood. Like, so many memories I have of being a kid revolve around me sat there with my friends playing like Wii Sports Resort or like whatever game it might have been at that time.
Yeah, the cultural impact, and Keza, I'd like to chat to you in a second about how you try to quantify that, I suppose, in the book. But I know it is interesting, Keza, saying this is a company that does things differently, always has done.
Yeah.
And in a world where people are seemingly becoming like a monoculture, it's so refreshing that Nintendo's still out there doing things their way.
Oh, yeah. It's just the story of how Nintendo like got into making games in the first place is interesting, and then how the company was run. I'm sure Keza's book explores a lot of that, and even just like they helped like PlayStation come about, like inadvertently, and it's like all because of like business moves under the table and things, and Philips getting involved, and so it's like they've done things so differently. It's hard to predict what they're going to do next, which is why I think so many people find it Nintendo such an exciting company,
which is why some people want to read about it as well, Imogen, isn't it? Because it's so mysterious. So once you got that access, then Kez, and you're speaking to the big names, were they forthcoming? Because it strikes me as quite a secretive company. Were they happy to share some of the secrets, or did you have to sort of read between the lines and piece it all together? Oh, we seem to have lost. Kez seems to have gone mute for a second for some reason. I don't know if there's that.
She's definitely speaking.
So excited.
Just can't hear anything.
Just teasing me with the answers. I want to know.
Cliffhanger.
We'll have to read the book.
Go read the book.
So Kez is just flashing the book at us and waving at it. Look, fingers crossed, Kez will sort of mic it.
You've had too many exclusives for today, guys.
We'll talk more about the book with Kez in a sec while we sort out that microphone. And in the meantime, let's get to the biscuit break, right? So we'll have a little biscuit break whilst Kez is fixing her microphone. So it is that time of the episode. We have our Press X biscuit break, which is brought to you by Pickup.
Mm-hmm. Now this week we're doing something a little bit different. Instead of suggesting a game for you guys to play while having your pickup and getting that energy boost, we're giving you guys the chance to win some chocolate and biscuit in goodness.
We are indeed, which is very exciting. This Thursday, okay, so that is the 11th of September. Imogen, you're allowed to enter if you want to. Thursday, if you want to enter, Thursday the 11th of September, we're going to be putting a question on the Discord, okay? There's going to be a question then. You've got 24 hours to answer the question. Then we'll pick a winner at random from all the right answers. And that lucky sausage will win some pickup biscuits. So get yourself in the Discord and keep an eye out for the competition from Thursday. Okay, that's when the question is going in. Me and Ainel are not allowed to enter.
Starting the T's and C's, yeah?
Everybody else is allowed to enter. Damn. So get yourselves in there and then you can have your own pickup biscuit break. It's very exciting. Right, hopefully, Keza, your microphone is playing ball again now. How are we going?
Here's hoping.
Excellent stuff. So we've teased the audience now. Perfect. So yeah, were they forthcoming in sharing that stuff, or have you had to kind of to try and figure it out?
In a word, no, not at all. not remotely. So the thing that's getting access to any of the big name developers at Nintendo is almost impossible. It's really hard. It took me, I'm not exaggerating, years to arrange interviewing Miyamoto. Again, finally, I interviewed him once in 2012 when the Wii U was coming out, and then again in 2023, just after his 71st birthday, I think. And it took me years to organize it. I flew to Japan, had to be in Nintendo's HQ. There were about 19 handlers in the room. And it's really difficult to get kind of really insightful stuff, unless you're, you know, because you don't usually, you get 15 minutes with someone, right? Mm. Or you get, especially if an interview is translated, maybe you get kind of just half an hour, but half of that's just kind of translation. So I really worked very hard to get proper chunks of time. So I got, you know, a good hour and a half with Miyamoto in the end in 2023. And I tried really hard to sort of ask about the things that we don't already know about. Because obviously there's a lot of, especially from olden times, from like the 90s and early 2000s, there's an awful lot of stuff out there from Nintendo's, the SNES era and the NES era. And then it kind of slowly became more secretive as time went on. However, so Nintendo's fourth president, Satoru Iwata, who was in charge throughout the DS and the Wii era, he was basically had a lost calling as a games journalist. He used to interview people at Nintendo about the games that Nintendo was making. In a series called Iwata Asks.
Yeah,
so there's actually this incredible treasure trove of information with Iwata, who is a game programmer, passionate gamer, and amazing business person, asking really insightful and brilliant questions of all of the developers who worked for him at Nintendo. And so quite a lot of the stuff that I kind of researched, quite a lot of the insight that I've managed to glean, a lot of it does come from Iwata, who was, you know, a really open-hearted and open-minded business person. He died very sadly just before the Nintendo Switch came out of cancer, and was, you know, very, very widely mourned, not just in the, you know, Nintendo business community, but just by people who play Nintendo games. He was a really important figure. So yeah, the book kind of talks about him a bit as well, and the other people who've been part of Nintendo's past. But I think it also talks about like Nintendo right now and Nintendo in the future. But yeah, it's I haven't read anything like it. Which is just as well, I guess. but I was really trying to bring together without being like a kind of, you know, in a way I'm kind of glad Nintendo isn't this company that would tell you everything, because it means that you have to do quite a lot of thinking and researching. And
you've had to earn it. You have to earn
and
it.
I find that very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's not been handed to
you. Yeah, I find that really enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was a really, really cool project. And I found it really, really rewarding to write a kind of book length thing about why Nintendo is the way it is. And I honestly think like, if you love Nintendo, you'll learn something about Nintendo you didn't already know. But more importantly, I think it's just you'll feel some feelings, you know.
Hi, Owen again. At this point, Keza got interrupted by her microphone making the weirdest sound I've maybe ever heard in my life. So we're just going to fast forward.
Your headphones do not want to sell in this book, Keza. But I think it's going to be really interesting. And when you have a big swanky book launch, then we'll all come.
I want to know if Kez is going to do an audio version as well. Is my thing.
That is the plan.
Yay!
I am having a technical nightmare tonight. It's the night I have to sell my book. I'm out here trying to sell my book, and everything is conspiring against me. Well, I'm going to take this as an omen.
Yeah, we were just saying when you do have your big swanky book launch. You know, with free champagne and stuff, we'll come.
So. Yes,
that'll be good. It'll be fun. It's like for me, like Nintendo is one of those very few companies in the world that seemingly their objective, obviously as well as making money, but in terms of their creative decisions, is just about bringing joy to the world, isn't it? When everybody else is like, I mean, you could say PlayStation and Xbox do that, but they do it in sort of a way that sometimes is like, you know, just through the prism of the games they make, a gritty or realistic and dark and dreary, and, you know, which is can be amazing experiences. But sometimes you just want a very happy plumber jumping up and down and stuff, you know, and that's what they do. So I'm very excited to get into the weeds of how it's been so successful in your book, Keza, when it comes out. When is it out? What is the release date?
It is coming out in the UK. It's coming out February 12th. Next year, and in the US it's like February, I think, 3rd, so a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. So next February, and yeah, it's up for pre-order now pretty much everywhere.
Nice. Amazing. So when it's dark and dreary out and you're going to be cozying up with an interesting read, perfect time to be getting into a book about Nintendo, and we'll touch upon that again, Keza, before it comes out. Now, the polar opposite of what you would think of the traditional Nintendo game is Elden Ring Night Rain, and that is the game.
That's a segue.
You've been segueing
out
today.
It's my profession. And that's what we're going to be reviewing now, because Imogen, you've been playing that, and you've got a YouTube series on with another press exer as well, Luke. So tell us all about Elden Ring Night Rain. For people who have been living under a rock, what is it? How do you play it? The floor is yours.
So, Elden Ring Lightrain is a bit of a chameleon of a game. It aesthetically looks like Elden Ring through and through, but it plays more like Fortnite. It is, well, Einel came on for one of the episodes, and Einel was phenomenal, but I've not heard the end of the fact that we didn't explain the game well enough to you.
It's just, I never said that.
the YouTube comments have said it. The fact that you never locked on to anything once during, and you were like a powerhouse.
I didn't know how to.
And he was on point, Keza. You don't understand. Like, watching the gameplay from Einel, I spend the entire time with my head, like my hands on my head going, how is he alive? How has he done this? And he was fantastic. We got to like the third major boss in it, like on the run that we did. Spoilers. But basically, it's the bones of Elden Ring. It kind of has been like moved away from exactly what Elden Ring was. It kind of sets itself a little bit apart lore-wise in a kind of familiar territory, which is Limgrave, but not. And it basically makes you play through three big bosses, the third one being like the Night Lord, to end this nightmare situation that these players have like found themselves in. But basically, it's like Fortnite, but make it Elden Ring. That's the best way you can describe what Elden Ring Lightrain is.
So did they make this image to just try and branch out? Because the audience of who would play Elden Ring, because the main title is so difficult and requires a lot of investment, time and energy and thought or whatever, this is a bit more pick up and play. Is that to try and broaden the horizons? Is that the
absolutely
point of this?
Absolutely not. It's probably
I was going to say pick up and play.
That this is the least pick up and play. Like, I would recommend people play any, well, I say I have not played them all, but like pretty much any From Software game before you would play Elden Ring Nightrain. It is so narrow cast to.
So it's the opposite, and it's fans. This is for your Elden Ring hardcore lads and ladies.
No, it's
and
not
that's
even
it.
For
do
them.
You have to already know. Do you have to? Who is it for?
Who is it? Yeah, maybe that's a better question, Kez, actually. Yeah, spot the journalist in the room. Who is this for, Imogen?
I think that's the really interesting thing about it is that it plays so differently from Elden Ring. It feels very different. You have to learn a whole new set of objectives and thought processes, and you kind of have to, like, where Elden Ring was very methodical, where you have all the time in the world relatively to be able to like choose how you want to approach a situation. You die to the situation three or four times and then you go, okay, right, what talismans do I need, what weapons do I need, what armor do I need. You get to be methodical and you get to kind of count through the like your stats and everything to approach it in a very specific way, the way that you want to. Nightrain is like, I need to run right now or I'm going to die. I need to run. I need to keep going. Don't stop me. Don't even look at me weird because I'm not in the mood to like talk to you or you. I'm going from A to B. Like, let me,
are we
like,
talking about Nightrain?
It's just like you're screaming, waving your arms in the air through this map, like with specific like objectives to get just the right sort of weapon for the final boss. Or like it's so specifically like designed to be its own thing that like so many people who like Elden Ring would not like Nightrain. And it makes a really interesting project because it's not really specifically for anyone. There's a very small Venn diagram like section of people who this is for, and it's kind of unashamedly that like way, and I really love it for that, but I can understand why a lot of people who loved Elden Ring would hate Nightrain.
I'm just a bit confused by it all, really. How did you find it, Einel, playing it?
As Imogen says, it's very fast. You're running from place to place. You're taking down people running by. Literally slash them in the back and then you're running. And you're like taking down these bosses really quickly, leveling up, and then you're rushing off again to do the next thing. And it's as Imogen was saying earlier, it does have like a... It does feel a bit like Fortnite in the sense that there is like an encompassing circle that kind of gets shrinks, and you have to kind of like do your tasks before that shrinks and before you end up in the final circle bit. But I say fast, like you're playing for like an hour before the circle kind of closes down on you. And so it's it's different. It's very different. It's fun. And I can see why it's multiplayer. And I guess it's From Software kind of exploring that multiplayer kind of world, I guess, even more. And I know they've got their new Switch 2 game coming out. Was it this year or next year? And that's also supposed to be multiplayer as well. And so I'm saying, okay, they're trying to branch off in... They've mastered single player. Now they're trying to branch off and do multiplayer stuff. And it's fun. It's fun.
So can you finish it? Like, can you do a full run of it? Does it end? Has anyone done that? Is it possible? Because every time I see... This may just be the content I watch. Every time I see anyone play Night Rain, they don't seem to get very far. It seems to be almost impossible.
It's like a 45-minute... You commit to basically 45 to minutes to an hour of like finishing a Night Lord. You load in and you're going to fight a specific boss at the end. What happens between when you start and when you end and you fight that boss is kind of up in the air. You have like a map that you're going to tackle. And on night one, you face a random boss. On the end of night two, you face a random boss. And then if you finish that second boss, then you get transported to the final boss that you do know is going to be there. And there are something like 9 or 10 of these bosses to kind of complete the main content of the game. And then on top of that, there are occasionally hard versions of the bosses that they're like, you know what? That guy wasn't hard enough. Let's make him even harder and like let you have another go at that same same scenario, but with a more difficult boss at the end. The thing is that the bosses at the end aren't actually, and I'm, you know what, I'm going to get crucified for saying this. They're not that hard. It's more that you need to be able to, in those 45 minutes prior to it, find the right stuff to tackle it. And if you don't, then you're screwed. And like the final boss is going to be miserable.
Now, Imogen, if people have heard your description and are intrigued and want to find out more, and maybe they want to watch a YouTube series of people playing the game, for example, to get them excited about it, where would they find your stuff?
So it's on Luke Westway's channel. It is Normal Adult Luke if you want to watch Chaos Servants. Or you can find the best clips that I edit myself by hand. You know, a boutique product on my Instagram, which is Immo Mella. But yeah.
Lovely stuff. It's got a Metacritic score of 77, so pretty high. But I think there are questions about around it.
That's the game, not the
that's
series.
The game, not the series.
That is my Instagram. It was a load of my mates I asked to review my Instagram.
Can you imagine if there was a Metacritic for Instagram, people could go and anonymously rate everybody's Instagram? Oh, no, just don't Black Mirror.
Don't even put that into the world, Kevin.
That is Black Mirror, absolutely.
Diabolical idea.
I tell you what, the press X instead will go through the roof after our clip with Cooper from last week. So maybe we do it. And now you can get it for £35 on Steam, on the Xbox Store and the PlayStation Store. It's also £28 on Amazon. Metacritic score of 77. So that's Elden Ring Night Rain if you fancy trying that out. Okay, so the big question from today's show. We've got a new tradition. We're near the end of the show. We've got a big question that has been set for us by the producers who've been listening to our conversation. And I'm only finding out what this question is at the same time you are. They've taken elements of what we've been talking about on the show and they've mashed it together to come up with a question for us all to answer. And that question is this. What legendary item are we bringing to Mario's 40th birthday party? His best days might be behind him and he needs a good gift, especially because him and Peach are definitely just friends. So what legendary item are we taking to Mario's 40th?
I got one. Okay. You know, in Super Mario Sunshine, he had the flood thing. I'd bring that, but instead of water, stick some booze in there.
Huge.
Very good. What are you going with, Kez? You've just written a book about Nintendo, so you must have ideas.
Right. Oh. I have an actual object.
Oh.
I have an actual object. You ready for this? This is a Mario warp pipe.
Oh, wow.
Signed by Shigeru Miyamoto with a little doodle of Mario on it.
Nice.
So I think giving him a nice little present with a little best wishes from his dad would be a lovely 40th birthday present for Mario.
I'm not going to bother.
I would struggle to give it up, though. This is my prized possession. Even if Mario were a real person, I would struggle to give this up to him, or indeed anyone.
Too right. Yeah, you should keep that. Mario can get his own one. I think that wins Imogen, unless Shigeru Miyamoto's in the room with you currently, I think.
I was going to say, get him a ring camera so we can tell when Peach goes missing more easily. I just need to
you need one of those watch straps where you can put an air tag in, like you get for kids when you're on holiday.
Is that PC?
The jewel in a little crown on it. The jewel in a crown.
Are we okay with that? Are we okay with that in this day and age? Mario.
Oh, I don't know. There's definitely some problematic aspects.
Yeah, very problematic. Yeah. Peach, where are you going?
You win, Peach. Yeah. See your Rambazos again.
Again.
Maybe it's Round Luigi's again.
Don't make this is getting spicier. You should go and listen, Kez, if you haven't heard it. We had Geeky Cassie on, who's had a big rant about this relationship status thing with us. Go back and listen to that episode. It's very Love Island.
It has set the world afire.
Nintendo does Love Island for sure. Okay, so the answer to this week's trivia question, which came from Radlan Radian, it's L or an I with an exclamation mark, so I'm not sure how you say it, but it's a great question. Comes from the Discord. And the question was, why are games that are intended for the casual market in China often designed to be played one-handed? Anybody got any raises on our current suggestions?
Is it because casual gamers like to eat at the same time? Something silly like that. So they always want to have like one hand free to eat and play.
So eating. Keza had holding on to like a thing on the train. Imogen, what are you saying?
Just to change it up, I'm going to say they may also be working. So they've got like a hand like on a mouse or something like that. So they're also working at the same
time. My answer, and granted, I'm cheating slightly because my old boss lived in China and she used to say all the time that everybody in China doesn't do anything other than smoke. Everybody's a smoker.
Right.
They all smoke all the time. And so I didn't tell you all because I'm way behind in the percentages, so I'm keeping it to myself. And that is the right answer. It's also players can smoke when they're playing. And Radlan says, I'm the source on this because I worked on a cancelled game for the Chinese market called Auto Club Revolution. And they had to design it to be one-handed so that everybody could smoke. And then producer Davis did some research to top that up, saying that China is the world's largest consumer and producer of tobacco. 300 million people in China smoke, with around 2.5 trillion cigarettes sold each year.
Woo!
That's a lot of cigarettes.
They don't like vapes there.
They ain't vaping there. So, Keza, you're still in second place on the overall leaderboard, so don't panic. Benedict Townsend.
Oh, that's a small comfort.
Yeah, he's currently top because he's got 2 out of 2 right with 100%. You've got 2 out of 4 right, so you're at 50%.
Can't believe I'm bottom at 0% right now.
Currently, Imogen, you, Wee Claire, Meli Santi Mahu, so off of Assassin's Creed, Marcus Bronzy, Gav Murphy, Krupa, Glenn Moore all have 0%. So,
great. I feel better about myself.
But then I am bottom of the people that have got multiple questions because I've got 22.7%. So I'm bottom before you. So that makes you feel any better. Good question. And thank you very much. Keep on putting your questions into the Discord and we can turn them around. But that is it for this episode of Press X. To continue, don't forget to get involved by messaging us on Press X Pod. That is on TikTok and Blue Sky and Press X Podcast on Instagram. Below is the link to the Discord. Get involved. Remember, on Thursday, there's going to be a quiz in the Discord that will give you a chance to win some chocolate goodies courtesy of Pickup. And then we will be back next Tuesday for more fun. So until then, everybody, thank you very much. And go and pre-order Keza's book. Go and do that.
Definitely do that.
Go do it. Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Moro Casino, America.
a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.